Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace to us. We thank you that in your providence you have preserved for us these profound words of Jesus. And we pray that you would help us to be those who have ears to hear this morning. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Do take a seat. Well, I wonder if you've ever thought, I'm sure you have, why don't more people believe? As Christians, we realise the good news of Jesus is so wonderful. God has demonstrated his extraordinary love for people in sending Jesus to rescue us. This is all the more remarkable because we have done so much to deserve his love. Having cleansed us and made us acceptable to him through Jesus, God in the person of his Holy Spirit comes to live within us and to be with us so we can be truly connected to him. Being adopted into his family as his children gives us a clear identity and a sense of security, a powerful significance that the basis of our lives is on a sure footing so we can value ourselves because of his grace despite our weaknesses and failures. And recognizing God's plans and purposes for human beings and the world in the Bible gives us a coherent worldview to understand our broken existence that we share. And his great and precious promises give us confidence for the future in an uncertain world and a purpose that motivates us to serve others and make a difference. And all these blessings are not merely individualistic experiences. Through the good news of Jesus, he draws us into the community of his people. So we have the encouragement and support of others in our lives. Why then aren't our church buildings bulging? And why isn't our country looking to its rich Christian heritage to address our deep needs rather than stumbling around in the darkness of ignorance? Why don't more people believe in Jesus? Well, what we hear Jesus himself say as we continue our sermon series looking at some of his parables, whilst it doesn't remove all the disappointments and struggles of life, gives us enormous insight into understanding our current experience. And it gives us a perspective that helps us persevere with humble confidence. Well, do turn to the parable of the sower, page 986 in the church Bibles and Matthew's Gospel. And as we hear Jesus teaching in Matthew chapter 13, he is in the Galilee region, close to where he grew up. And he's been teaching his friends and others about the kingdom of God, God's loving, saving rule that he is bringing in a new way. Now, just before what we read, Jesus has been facing increasing opposition to his message and his miracles and his actions, those things that illustrate his message. And we see that Jesus himself found that many did not want to hear his message of the good news of God's kingdom. We even hear a little bit before in chapter 12, verse 14, that the Pharisees went out and conspired against him. How? To destroy him. And we all know where that led to that first Easter. So why did so many then reject Jesus and his message when some received it? Why do we find the same thing in our day? Well, Jesus' parable of the sower, as it's traditionally called, or perhaps it could be called the parable of the seed and the soils, explains the situation. And it is a parable that is in many ways the one that sets the scene for all of his parables, all his stories with a meaning. So Matthew tells us in verse 1 that that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. He carries on teaching and goes to a place where many can hear him, verse 2, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. Now, of course, Jesus' story is about a farmer a sower who, according to the agricultural practices of the day, went into his field and started to sow seeds so that later in the year he would be able to harvest a crop. He took huge handfuls of seed from his bag, and as he walked along, he threw the seed onto the soil. Now, the idea is that this farmer is extravagant in his seed sowing. He throws it everywhere that he can on his land. And what happens to the farmer's seed? Well, the same sort of seed fell on different sorts of soils and different things happened to it. Verse 4, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. And then we read that some seed fell on rocky ground. And then verse 7, other seed fell among thorns. Verse 8, some fell on good soil, however. You see, the farmer discovers that though he starts with the same kind of seed, the different soil that it falls on affects what happens to it. Some is stolen away by birds before it gets into the soil. Some on stony ground without much humus meant that despite an initial sprouting, it could not be sustained. Other seed fell on soil that contained lots of other plants which competed for nutrients, so it withered away. But some seed fell into good, rich soil where it germinated and was nurtured by the minerals in the soil and grew healthily, yielding decent, good, and even extraordinarily abundant harvests. So why does Jesus tell this story? He wasn't a lecturer at Bishop Burton Agricultural College, so he wasn't merely giving a lesson in soil science or horticulture. What did he mean? Well, thankfully for us, this is one of Jesus' stories that he actually explains for us. And we have that explanation from verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and then he goes on to tell the explanation. See, Jesus is quite explicit that the seed in his story represents the word or the message of the gospel, the message of God's loving kingdom coming through him. And the different types of soils that the same sort of seed falls onto represent the different reactions and responses that people give to the same gospel message that is shared. So the first sort of reaction, verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. There are some who encounter the good news through a friend, through what they read, maybe through a talk, and the seed of the message that has been sown in them is stolen away by God's spiritual enemy, the devil. The effect is that to them the message becomes, it just seems incoherent, doesn't make sense, and they carry on as if they've heard nothing. Then there are those whose hearts and minds are likened to rocky ground, stony ground, of course, as the old versions had it. Such a person, verse 20, hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself but endures for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Things seem good at first with such a person. They seem to believe, find joy in the gospel message, but when people start to rib them a bit for being a Christian, when there's opposition or even persecution, it's all too much, and they fall away and give up. In such persons, it seems that the seed hadn't actually taken properly in the first place. Another reaction to the message of the good news is described in verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Such a person, again, seems to begin well, but life just becomes too much. The pressures of having to deal with relationships and work and people and money squeeze out gospel values and gospel perspective. These other things choke the gospel seed and there's no growth, no harvest. Now, it's interesting that Jesus speaks about four sorts of soil in his story, four sorts of people who hear the good news, and three of them have negative reactions. Now, we can't say that this means that three out of every four people who hear the gospel will not become long-standing Christians whose lives point to Jesus and produce a harvest themselves. But it is an indication that we should not be surprised that this will be true of many, indeed the majority who hear. Now, Jesus quoting the Old Testament underlines this. If you were here 2 weeks ago, you might remember Nicholas Haydock, our former parish assistant, explaining these words that Jesus quotes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Nicholas helps us see that God is desperate for people to believe in him, but he uses a sort of irony to illustrate that even though he uses his messengers to explain the message of his great love, many won't want to hear. And for them, hearing closes their hearts to the message. As Jesus explained to his friends, those who did believe, he uses parables not simply because they're sort of nice stories with homely illustrations of truths that make it easier to understand. Rather, parables have a sort of sifting effect. So people hear one of Jesus' stories, and some are persuaded and believe. Verse 11, to them it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And yet for others, the same message, the same parable, remains just a quaint fable about some aspect of life. And they don't get it, and they don't see its significance. This is why, verse 13, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. So there is a sense then in which hearing God's gospel message divides people. Some believe and receive his mercy, others don't believe and are judged by it. Just as seed sowing on a farmer's field doesn't result in all the seed becoming plants, so not all the gospel sharing results in people becoming believers in Jesus. Indeed, Jesus is telling us that some will hear the message and clearly decide not to believe, and we shouldn't be surprised by that. Well, having spoken of the three types of soil that don't properly accept the word, those who hear the good news and in a variety of ways fail to believe, there are others who hear and do believe. Verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, and another 30. So here are people who get the importance of the message, are enabled by God to believe it and come to Jesus for mercy. And it makes a big difference to their lives over the long term. In some, there is an enormous effect, a 100-fold increase on the single plant that grew. For others, it's 60 times, and others still 30 times. In different measures, the seed has brought a harvest in positively changed lives, active Christian service, and attractive gospel witness. Now, as we hear Jesus' parable, it's clearly intended to make us ask, what kind of soil am I? Hard, compacted soil that doesn't hear? Rocky ground? Weed-filled soil? Or the good soil where the seed is received and grows? And Jesus' parable also helps us, as we are all involved in some way as members of a local church, in being ourselves sowers of gospel seed. The central message is that the same gospel message is communicated, but we will find that people respond to it differently. And that means that when we have the inevitable setbacks, we shouldn't try and find different seed, so to speak. We must go on sharing the message of Jesus that we have been given in the Bible. We need to encourage one another to keep our nerve, to maintain our confidence in Jesus and his message, even when it seems unfashionable, or when we might be tempted to alter it to make it easier, even when senior denominational church leaders have a different message to that of Jesus and the testimony to him in the Bible. Remembering this parable then will also mean that whilst we shall be disappointed that some don't receive it, or their faith seems to wither or be choked, we won't be so downhearted that we're knocked off course. Instead, we shall encourage one another, like the farmer, to continue to extravagantly go about sowing gospel seed. So as a church family, we need to be thinking about where we need to sow gospel seed. Sowing into soil, perhaps, that we've been less effective at reaching. We need to consider how we use our time and resources to do that. Now, it's good that there are some special opportunities coming up with the Come and See Events Week in March, where we pray the gospel will be made known, where seed will be sown, and it will fall on different soil. And we can invite people that they might have the opportunity to hear. And that Jesus speaks of seed that falls on good soil reminds us that there is receptive soil out there. So we must keep going. And also we must pray for God to do his work. We're going to sing at the end of the service that great old hymn, God is working his purpose out. The final verse says this: all we can do is nothing worth unless God blesses the deed. Vainly we wait for the harvest tide till God gives life to the seed. So let's be asking him to do that which only he can do. Some of us may remember back in 2016 when we took part in the Mark Drama here in Ferriby, that internationally acclaimed piece of theatre that acts out the story of Jesus. Andrew Page, who coordinated the project, shared with some of us that from all his experience of thinking through the words of Jesus, he believed that this parable of the sower and the soils was one of the most important parts of the New Testament Gospels for Christians to get their heads around. And that's because here is a parable of healthy realism. It encourages us not to lose heart in the face of opposition and disinterest. And it answers the question we began with: why don't more people believe? It's because people will always respond differently, even though the message is always true and good. So this parable is also a great encouragement. There's nothing wrong with the seed of the gospel message. So we need to keep sowing and to keep believing that God will bring seed to life in good soil. So in some there will be new life and a harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these great words of Jesus, and we pray that you would help us to remember them. Help us to be humbly confident in you and in the gospel. Help us to keep sowing the seed for Jesus' sake. Amen.